Hi, this is Laura with Kick Ass in Life, where I help you get hired fast, be smart with money, and be a happier and healthier you. Today's episode is all about money. So last week we talked about how to negotiate your salary in order to advocate for what you deserve. And in this episode, we talk about how to think about money and how to change your money mindset, how to spend, how to save, how to pay off debt, and so much more. Money doesn't need to be scary and overwhelming, even though it's often such a taboo and scary subject. I wanted to let you know also that I've released an ebook now live on Amazon, How to Kick Ass with Your Money. Yes, because I want to help you with your money goals. We go over all of the basics from how to use credit cards, how to pay off your debts, how to even start investing. You'll see a link to it on my site, kickassin.life. Or feel free to search Amazon, Kick Ass with Your Money. Also, because I know you love learning, I wanted to invite you to 2 free months of Skillshare. So Skillshare is usually $10 a month, but they waive those first 2 months because you're a Kick Ass in Life listener. And you can get those months free by going to kickassin.life/tools/partners. That's unlimited access to over 18,000 classes on everything from design to photography, from marketing to technology. So without further ado, let's get into today's interview. I spoke with Shauna Compton Game all about money. She's the creator and host of the Millennial Money Podcast, and her goal is to help you talk about money and deal with money because everything in life revolves around money. It's too true.
Look at every expense that's coming out of their bank account and give it a number 1 to 10 on a happiness scale. How happy are you on this expense? Does this expense make you feel really good, or is this something that makes you feel like crap? And doing this simple exercise, you can really start to examine where you want to spend your money and how you're spending your money. And I think that's the most, it's the most important money foundation, rule, goal, advice, whatever you want to call it, that you can learn really early on, right out of college, but that is going to help you so much in your future. You just have like absolutely no idea.
Whether it be with your career, in your relationship, or the future goals you have for your life, money is often at the center, whether or not we talk about it. So today we're talking about it. We talk about how to know your numbers, how to give every dollar a roadmap and purpose, how to invest or how to save when you're still in debt, and how to change your money mindset for maximum earning potential and financial freedom. Let's dive in. Shauna, I'm so excited to chat with you on the Kick Ass in Life podcast. I've been admiring your work for a long time. So why don't you explain to us what you do in your podcast, the Millennial Money Podcast?
Sure. Well, I am excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I started this like little podcast that could I call it in February 2015. And I had no idea that people would actually tune in to listen to me babble on about money. But we're going on about 5 years now. And it's really evolved into a podcast that I think resonates with my philosophy around money. And that is just that everything in life revolves around money. There isn't anything you can name that doesn't have money associated with it. So we need to talk about all of those different elements about life. And my approach is just to bring new ideas, tips, and have people on the show that share their money story so that other people can realize that money is not this topic that needs to be scary and overwhelming.
I think it's so hard to talk about money. It's something that I think when we're raised in such a way that it's sort of a taboo subject. I think when people are raised, they have all these strange feelings about money and it's something taboo. Maybe they don't talk about it as a family, or if they do, they have all these odd feelings about it. Yeah. So why is it so important to talk about money and feel comfortable talking about money?
I think, again, it goes back to what I just said. There's every aspect of life revolves around money, whether we're talking about your career or your relationship or the vision and goals you have for your life, buying a house, having kids. I mean, just everything that you do every single day, there's a money component involved in it. So I think that it's really important to talk about money and to remove the taboo stigma that we always have. I always tell people, my goal is that you go out with your girlfriends and you're sitting around the table and you're talking about guys, and then somebody brings up the conversation money, and it isn't this weird thing, that it's actually okay to talk about this. And I think also because when we're raised, you know, most of our parents and our grandparents didn't really know what they were doing around money. So it just became this topic that nobody wants to talk about. And for that reason, there's so much stress and anxiety revolving around money. And I think it's just important to kind of tear that down and have these open, honest conversations and realize that we're all more alike than we are different.
I think that's so wise. And I think that's such a great goal of your podcast, to get those conversations out in the open, because the more we talk about it, the more comfortable we get talking about money and the more money we'll make. So we can have a little bit more freedom in our lives the more we talk about it. So one of the goals of this podcast is to have that conversation about money. But a lot of people are just getting started in their careers. They maybe feel like they don't have enough money to even sort of think about or prioritize money. So yeah. What are some of the top money decisions you should think about very early on in your career, even with your first few paychecks?
Well, I think your podcast is doing such an excellent job about talking about negotiating for what you're worth and really valuing your skills. I think that's one of the most important money moves, money steps, money decisions, whatever you want to call it, that you can make, because you're really owning your skills and your talent. You're saying, hey, this is what I'm worth. And there are so many different studies and statistics show that your first job out of the gate, if you can earn an extra $1,000 or $5,000 or however much it is, that really sets you on this forward trajectory going forward. And we often don't think about that. We think about our job and our career, our starting salary, and kind of the silo, but it really can have a dramatic effect over the amount that you're able to save, over the amount of debt you're able to pay off, just so many different things. So I think that's definitely really important. And I think another thing that it sounds boring and it sounds really foundational, but I talk about it a lot on my podcast. It's just the simple concept of, I call it knowing your numbers. So just having like a firm grasp over what you're spending your money on. And I do this exercise with my podcast guests. I tell them to look at every expense that's coming out of their bank account and give it a number 1 to 10 on a happiness scale. How happy are you on this expense? Does this expense make you feel really good, or is this something that makes you feel like crap? And doing this simple exercise, you can really start to examine where you want to spend your money and how you're spending your money. And I think that's the most, gosh, it's the most important money foundation, rule, goal, advice, whatever you want to call it, that you can learn really early on, right out of college. But that is going to help you so much in your future. You just have like absolutely no idea.
You said so much there that I think is important to underscore. You know, one is knowing your value when you get that first job, making sure you negotiate that salary so that you can earn, you know, studies show that you can earn hundreds of thousands of dollars more if you negotiate on that first job. And it's just a simple matter of asking for what you're worth. But I think also what you say about spending and understanding what money is going out the door and where it's going to is so, so important. And so how is the money that you're spending aligned to your values? And I think if people do that study that you have your guests do for themselves, then I think they'll really understand where they're spending their money, where they're maybe not spending their money wisely. They spend it on the coffees or the lunches out when they could have been spending money saving money for a future trip. You know, I think that it's just being really wise to what money's going out of the door, because it's not easy to make money. But it is so easy to compare yourself to others and try to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, in terms of what other people are spending their money on, but actually taking a step back to see what you value.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I could share so many different stories, of people where I've worked with different couples or different individuals where you would think on the outset that they have a lot of money, right? They have the houses and the cars and the watches and the bags and the heels and you name it. But when you start looking under the covers, what you see is a lot of people that appear to have a lot of money are really living almost paycheck to paycheck. And I've seen this so many times. I really wish I could share every single story with everybody because I think that there is this notion that if you hit a certain amount of dollars for your income, 100,000, a million, whatever that number is for you, that suddenly money isn't an issue. And really, there's nothing that could be further from the truth. I mean, I've worked with so many people who are making modest salaries, you know, 40,000, 50,000, whatever it may be, and they are more financially stable than somebody who is making $1 million a year. So my goal is always to shatter those myths and have you realize that if you can connect the money in your bank account with the vision that you have for your life, meaning you're giving every dollar in your bank account a direction, you're giving it a roadmap, you're giving it a purpose, you can really achieve so many goals that you just never thought were possible with the amount of money you have in your bank account right now.
I think that's so true. And I think what you say is so, so important. But how do you get started? I mean, if you are somebody that is making $40,000, $50,000 a year, how do you start saving? What do you do to get those first saving goals started for yourself? And what saving goals should they be?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think everything with finance and money tips, you know, we call this personal finance for a reason because it is really personal. And so each of us are going to have different ways that we achieve different goals and we're going to have different things that are important to us. So if you live in a city like LA where I live or New York or some other expensive city, it may be really tough to save hardly anything from your paycheck because you're just trying to live life. So if that's the situation you're in, you've got to give yourself a little grace and not freak out. I mean, if somebody's living somewhere in maybe middle America and their cost of living is so much lower, they might be able to save a lot more money than you can. So everything is with a grain of salt, but I think you really have to start with that practice of knowing what you're spending your money on and really looking through each expense and figuring out not necessarily if you need to cut it out, because I'm not a big fan of just cutting everything out. You still got to live life. But of looking at, okay, is there a better way that I could do this? Maybe could I use a credit card and could I build up credit card points and could I turn those credit card points into value, into cash, into whatever in my bank account? Could I use a Groupon or something else to help pay for my gym membership and maybe that saves me some money? Should I call and try to negotiate a lower interest rate on my credit card or negotiate a better price for my internet? There are a million different things that you can do. And all of those little things are going to start adding up over time. I would say another suggestion too, if you're just starting out and you have a 401k at work and the company offers you something called a match, this is essentially free money. It's like the best thing out there.
It's so good.
Yes. So basically what it is just the company saying, hey, if you put this amount of money in your 401k, we're going to match it and give you essentially free money. So it's going to double the amount of money you put in. So it's all sorts of like little things like that. And all the little things really start to add up.
And the earlier you do them and the earlier that you prioritize them, the better it is, because then
yes,
you get that money saving and working for you. And that leads to more money and more money. But what if you are graduating, you have some student loan debts? How do you prioritize how to pay those off when you are also starting a job where you're not making a ton of money as well?
Yeah, that's like the like crystal ball question, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know that. And I wish there was like one easy way I could say that you do it. But again, it's going to be different for every person. the first thing I look at is my student loans. And I look at, okay, am I on the best repayment plan for me at this current age, at my current income? There are a ton of different repayment plans. So really make sure that you talk to your student loan servicing company, figure out what payment is going to work best for your budget. There's also student loan refinancing. You've probably seen commercials for companies like SoFi, Earnest. There are a lot of them out there, and you might be able to refinance your student loans and get a lower interest rate. So that either means you can pay less, or the payment that you were making, it's just going to pay off your student loans faster. So there are a lot of options like that. But I think when you're looking at like prioritizing your goals, it really comes back to your goals. So sitting down, writing, like, what are my goals? What are the things that I really want to achieve? And prioritizing them by time. So what do I want to do in, you know, a month or 3 months or 6 months or a year? And that can help really direct where your money's going. But I'm just this big fan of, I know you got to get rid of debt. I know debt is stressful. I have lived with debt multiple times in my life, but I'm a fan of paying off your debt, but also building money on the other side. So not just shoveling all your money to pay off debt, but paying off your student loans in, you know, an efficient way, but also putting some money aside in savings or something that's going to grow with you. So at the end of the day, you're kind of taking care of both things at one time. That's just my personal opinion and what I like to do. But if debt makes you super anxious and super nervous, then that's got to be your priority.
I think that that's wise. And I think you have to do a little check-in with yourself to see how you feel about debt. But I agree with you. I think that strategy in terms of making sure that you're also putting away money for future you as you pay off, pay down your debt, I think is really smart, because you'll never have more time than you do now. Exactly. At this moment. So it's if you start prioritizing, getting in that match with your employer for the 401k, maybe starting a Roth IRA with any little money that you have extra, meanwhile still keeping toward your goals of paying down your student loans. I think it's a little bit of a puzzle to figure that out, what works best for you, but I think it's important to do some of that pen to paper to figure out what can work well.
Yeah, and also, you know, I mean, all of this stuff is so stressful, so I'm just a big proponent of having some fun with it. I mean, if we can flip the coin from money being this anxiety, stressful, depression thing and turn it into something where you can put yourself in the driver's seat, in control, you can be the CEO of your finances. And yeah, you're going to make some mistakes along the way. We all do. And that's completely normal and natural. But if you can flip it in your head to like, no, you know what? I'm going to get in there. I'm going to see what I'm spending my money on. I'm going to look at everything from like a CEO perspective and figure out, how is my money working? Is it working in the most efficient way possible? What do I need to learn about? What do I need to listen to? What questions do I need to ask? Turn it into something positive where you feel like you have a sense of control over it. And I think that does a lot to kind of switch that mindset. I'm a big, big fan of the money mindset in your head. I think it's probably 80 to 90% of the reason for success or non-success with your money. And so I think, you know, anything you can do that just to have a little fun with this is really going to help, especially in those moments where you're completely stressed out.
Absolutely. And I'm a fan of gamifying things. Yes. So making it a game where you give yourself a little challenge to one weekend, spend the time planning out your money goals and figuring out ways to make it fun, as you said. But I also like what you said about how you can be thinking about your money as you are the CEO of it, and where the direction of the money goes, what are your future plans for it. I think that that's a really smart way to think about the future. And it's so true about how you think about it. So what you said about your money mindset. So if you're telling yourself negative things about money, oh, I don't know anything about money, I'm so bad with money, your brain's going to believe it and make those things true for you. So you might as well start telling yourself, that you're good with it and you're working on it.
And I think that to a lot of people, it sounds like ridiculous or hocus pocus or whatever, fill in the blank with whatever word you've got. But I know this stuff because I've lived this stuff, and also because I've helped hundreds and hundreds of other people do the exact same thing. So I know that this stuff works. I know that the mindset piece is so important. If you're somebody that's into mantras, or maybe you like a song, or you know, maybe your idea of relaxation is like to grab a crisp glass of wine, whatever it is for you that brings you joy and happiness, find those ways to incorporate that into when you're dealing with your money or in those moments of stress, because you're so right. Like, how you think and feel about your money is usually what's going to end up transpiring. So if you can just fill it with as much like positivity or meditation, whatever it is, that stuff really goes a long way.
So true. So we talked a lot about, you know, making money goals for yourself. Do you keep a budget, or do you recommend that people keep a budget? You had mentioned to sort of give every dollar a job, which could be a budget. What's your opinion about budgeting?
The dirty B word.
That needs to be rebranded. Yes. So we need to find a sexier word,
right?
For budget.
I actually call it my travel itinerary because I love to travel.
I love
and
it.
So for me, it's all about finding ways to drive more money into our travel savings account. So for me, I just change the word, and I tell everybody, like, change it, make it, you know, throw the word budget out, like make it whatever it needs to be. I think that there's two schools of thought. I think it's good to do a budget to really be able to analyze where your money is going. And when you do that process, then you can figure out like what categories are you overspending? What categories do you need to maybe pay more attention to or set a boundary around? But I think after you've done that for a couple of months, I think you can, I don't want to say throw out the budget, but I think you can create a monthly money system for yourself where you're not needing to focus so much on the actual budget, but you really get in the habit of every week looking at where your money's going, looking at your goals, figuring out where you are. It becomes almost intuitive and second nature to you. And so I'm a big fan of doing that. And then that process also gives you some room for, you don't have to be exacting. Things are going to change from week to week, from month to month. But if you cultivate a good practice of looking at your money and spending time, it doesn't have to be a lot of time. I mean, I spend maybe like 20 minutes a week, but it's just enough time for you to kind of eyeball everything and make any auto corrections that you need to. I've just have found that a far more effective and happier practice for me. But if you're the type of person that you got to use an app or you got to use a paper budget or Excel template, then you do you. You do what works best for you.
I love that. And I mean, there are so many tools out there, so you can really find whatever works best for you. There are a lot of apps that, as you said, you can actually like see where your money has been going, which I think can be helpful in order to kind of rein it in and figure out how much money you actually should be spending on entertainment or clothing if you need to do those things. And you might realize after you spend a little bit too much money one month that you don't need to spend as much money on the next month on those things. So I like that about finding what works best for you. So as you've talked to hundreds of people, helping them with understand money and be better with money, I'm sure you've heard a lot of money myths. So what are some of the top like money myths that you've heard over the past bit of time that people are really struggling with?
Again, I would go back to, I think the number one money myth that I've heard is just that you hit some sort of income level and suddenly you don't have any money issues anymore. And that is a complete myth. As I've said before, I have met so many people that are multimillionaires and really have very little money in the bank account. They're spending far more than they actually make. So I would definitely say that is one of the biggest money myths. Gosh, there's just so many to talk about. I think another money myth is the thought that if you have debt, that you're somehow doing money wrong. There's this movement out there of you're not smart with your money until all of your debt is paid off. And I like to throw that one out a lot because sometimes debt is necessary and sometimes debt makes sense. And I don't think that that rule particularly applies to every single person. So if you're someone who's sitting there with debt, just know that you are not alone and that a lot of other people live this circumstance and it's not a bad thing. So I think those two are probably like the biggest myths, if I would have to say.
I love that. And I think that's true. I think dispelling some of those myths helps a lot of people because you may have that student loan debt, or you may live in an area where you were able to buy a house and you have a mortgage that you're paying off, but you're paying it at such a low, a low interest rate that you maybe have the flexibility of investing and doing other things with your money. So I think exactly. There's a lot of different, it's never black and white. There's a lot of different ways you can act with your money that will serve you. So what are some other things that people are doing incorrectly with their money when they are just getting started? We talked about potentially overspending, not knowing where their money goes. What about like thinking about the future and, potentially like starting to think about investing even early on?
Yeah, investing is a big one. I tell people all the time, like, I think that retirement is going to look different. If it's even a word in the future, and that sounds kind of like a crazy talk, but I just think the old school rules of how our parents and grandparents worked for, let's say, 20, 30 years, retired, and then lived 10, 20 years in retirement, you know, learning to sew or whatever they want to do, I think that it's just going to look completely different for us. I think because with the internet and technology and side hustles and all sorts of things, I think people are getting more aligned with really finding a career that they love, that they can do for many, many years. And there isn't this like stopping point to say, okay, I'm going to stop working at this day and then I'm just going to live however many years until I die. I think that's getting thrown out. But I do think that regardless of what retirement looks like for you in the future, there's never been anybody that said or complained that they saved too much money. So the earlier that you can start, even if it's a small amount, let's say you can only put 10 bucks a month or 25 bucks a month in your 401k or your Roth IRA or your IRA, you would be amazed at if you started in your 20s, how much money you could accrue in your account versus somebody who even, let's say, started 10 years later. So really, really starting early, even if you don't know what you're doing, is one of the best gifts you can give yourself, because what it just does is it gives you choices later in life. And those choices are so valuable.
That's so true. I mean, I was so lucky. My dad set me up with a Roth IRA when I was 18. And then that was one of my favorite stories is how much it has grown since I've been 8, and I put in money when I had it. I was a server, so I put in money here and there. But getting started early, there was nothing better, because to your point, it takes care of that future self. So it does give you choices, and it also kind of creates those habits early. So whether or not it's $10 or it's $100, it's the practice of doing it every month that really gets you in this great habit of doing it, so that you'll just continue with it over the future. I mean, I think it's so hard to create habits from scratch. So if you get started early and do those things, then it becomes a lot easier to keep adding money as you go forward.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what a gift your dad gave you. That is just so amazing to be able to start early. I mean, if you looked at the numbers, it would just like blow your mind. People often think like they have to have a ton of money to start investing, and it's just so not true.
Yeah. I worked at my first job was at a movie theater. I made $5.15 an hour. And so living at home for free. But you know, it's just like whatever you can do matters. And so paying attention to money matters. you know, figuring out those little ways that you can make a difference in your life now for future you. And I think just being super mindful of it. And, you know, listening to resources such as your podcast and doing the exercises that you have for your guests to do, just so that people can just constantly sort of be aware of money and not scared of it.
Totally. Yeah. That is my mission. If I was to sum it up, is just to take down the taboo, to not be afraid to look at your bank account, not be afraid to learn about money, not be afraid to try things, especially for women. It is so critically important that we learn about money, that we really take some ownership over our finances. We're going to live longer than men. We're going to need more money. We're going to start and stop our careers. And so we really need to somehow turn that fear upside down and just get motivated again to be the CEO, to be in charge.
Oh, I love that. So what's next for you? How are you kicking ass in your life?
Well, I'm attempting to kick ass in every regard. I am, you know, we're over 525 episodes into the podcast. So that is a milestone that I just never imagined we would hit. And we just keep growing. We're working on some exciting things. Next year, I'll be coming out with my first book. We're working on a super exciting music meets money festival that will kind of be the first of its kind to launch next year. And gosh, like so many different media projects around money. We're working on a documentary and lots of different things. So I think 2020 has like a really good ring to it.
I love it. Oh, congratulations to you. I've enjoyed listening, and I can't wait for your book and your the music festival you mentioned. I think the more people that are exposed to how easy it is to talk about money, the more the conversations that they'll have. So tell us how we can find you.
Awesome. Yeah, you can find me on any podcast player at Millennial Money Podcast. So I'm in all the major players. Or you can head on over to my website, mmoneypodcast.com, to check out all of the past episodes.
Shauna, thanks so much. This is great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Shauna for all of her wise words, and thank you for giving this a listen. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I love talking about money, and I want to help you get better at understanding money because it is such a taboo subject. Here are today's top takeaways. Number one, know your numbers. Have a firm grasp of what you're spending your money on. Look where it's going and analyze each of those items and give it a number on a scale from 1 to 10 about how happy are you on this expense. Does it make you feel good or guilty or indifferent? Examine where you want to spend your money on and how you want to spend your money. Number two, give every dollar a roadmap, a purpose. So once you analyze your numbers, look at how much you're bringing in and give each dollar a job. Allocate it. Give it a plan. Let that dollar know what it's going to do for you. If you monitor it, you manage it. Number three, you can pay off debt and save and invest at the same time. Yes, it's possible. So write down your goals. What do you want to do in a month, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year? One of your goals might be to get rid of debt, which is a super great goal to have. Don't let that sacrifice your future self. So continue to pay off that debt, but don't forget about the future. You don't have any more time than you do at this moment. So work on paying off your student loans, but at the same time, invest in your retirement account. Save for the future you. Super important to pay off debt, but you don't have to do it sacrificing the future self. Number four, change your money mindset. Words have power. So much of what you tell yourself matters when it comes to money. If you think you don't have a lot, your brain will do the things to make sure that's true. Tell your brain you're good with money and it'll start to believe you. That's it for today. Thank you for giving this episode a listen. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to Shauna at the Millennial Money Podcast for all of her expert advice. Start talking about money. It's not easy, but the more conversations you have about it, the easier it will become. If you like this episode, please rate it, review it, share it. It helps others find it. Check out my ebook, now live on Amazon, kickass with your money. Connect with me on social media, kickassin.life on Instagram, and also my site's the same, kickassin.life. Yes, that's a URL where I have show notes, deeper dive, resources for you. And feel free to email me, kickassinyourlife@gmail.com, if I can help you in any way. Don't forget that 2 free months of Skillshare. Go to kickassin.life/tools/partners for access to 18,000 classes. The fall is a great time to learn more. So go kick ass with your money. Until next time.